I'm still in Richard's notes.
Well, I wrote specific notes.
Okay.
Alex's story, and it starts out straight, with.
So I'm just
well, I think
more
it,
of the story.
I think it gives
then it
kind
goes
of a
into
story.
Like, yeah, then it goes into like this plan.
Yeah, like what you could do about bullying. So, all right, you want to look at that real fast?
No pictures. Third one.
You eating peanut butter?
Something.
You're not going to be able
Hart,
to talk.
Harsh.
It'll be a good podcast.
Directed by
yeah.
Lee Hart.
Are we recording
Geek?
Or?
Yeah.
There okay. you go.
Hey, this is Nikita from the band Everfound, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Again, everybody, and welcome to Comic Pop Library. We are on episode 42, and I'm Richard, along with
Chris,
Matt,
April,
and we just finished listening to Metropolis America's "You Don't Have To" is the single from their website, and they're going to be our featured spotlight music this week or this time. We are also going to be doing our movie review. Except this time it's not a true movie, and I'll let Matt get into that more. But
it's a documentary.
We'll be doing Bully. So take it away, Mr. Matt.
You can butcher his name. Bully by...
I would pronounce him Lee Hirsch.
Lee Hirsch? I would... Okay. I'm going to butcher it, so I'm not even going to go into that.
See, I would try to pronounce every letter, though.
I'm not even going to attempt. Bully, as Richard was getting into, it's a documentary, and I believe there are four stories. I think we were going through four. They talk a little bit about one, so maybe five. Two are kind of intertwined.
Five complete stories. Two of them were suicides, and then three were actually documented in the movie.
Documented of what was happening to them. And I don't know if I want to get into the stories a whole lot.
We can kind of briefly mention happening. We don't have to do
it. Well, two of them were students that committed suicide from being bullied. One of them is actually a 16-year-old girl.
They were both boys.
No.
There's a girl.
The two boys committed suicide.
I think she was either 16 or 17.
17.
No, one was like 11.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm talking
about
the girl.
The other was 17.
I'm talking
and
about
then one girl was like 16. Kelby?
16 or 17.
No, she was 14.
No, she didn't.
She
but
was
she was a lesbian.
She
was 16.
And she lived in a smaller community, so they weren't.
Right. Well, we'll go in, I guess, a little bit into the stories.
sort of took most of the,
yeah,
the show, though.
They like focused on one and then did branches off.
Right.
Yeah. The others weren't as much into it.
We want to do the main story last.
Yeah.
Because it's going to take the most time.
Right. So we're starting on Kelby, which, like you said, she was a young lady in Oklahoma.
Right.
Yep.
Who, so, 16. Who came out, basically came out saying she was a lesbian.
Yeah.
And the whole community, not just students at the school, the whole community more or less shunned her. And I don't know how big of a community it
shunned
was.
Her like an Amish community.
I'm pretty sure it's a small, because it's Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And
I don't know the actual size of the town. I'm guessing it was probably
one high school. We knew what
maybe
the...
Maybe like Ulysses or Hugoton size, maybe.
Yeah, you know, maybe 20,000 people
probably
somewhere in there. And she was a basketball star, if I remember right.
That was the other lady.
Was that the girl, other one?
I don't think she did.
Okay. Sports. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Well, I thought there was a scene in there where she had tried to go back and play in our team.
Oh, she might have.
And our whole team kind of shunned her.
And they didn't let her.
Okay.
And really wouldn't want her, yeah. Didn't want her to play.
They didn't shun, they bullied.
Pretty much.
Well, yeah, which this was the only story where it was kind of a bully shunning type thing.
Because,
but right. The kids did pick on her.
The reason why I don't say shunning is because in the sense, I don't know the exact definition, but when you shun somebody, that means you ignore them completely.
See, I think
she wasn't ignored.
Well, yeah, in a way she was.
She was bullied.
But see, I think
to both.
I think the kids bullied her at the school, but the church and
the community in itself
just kind of
cast her out.
Cause they
wouldn't cast her out.
Because the father touched on, you know, the friends that they've been friends with for years and have been fine with them, just stop talking to them as like a family.
Right.
And that's what I kind of wish they'd.
Sorry.
No.
You're right, Chris.
Well, even
sorry, Chris.
I kind of wish that
recovering from that.
I wish that they'd focused more on her story because we got her testaments and her dad's testaments, but we didn't really see it a lot.
You didn't. Well, I think because by the time they were doing this,
it was already
she'd already moved because they ended up. It got bad enough that they ended up moving to another town.
Yeah,
I don't know
if
they actually said where they moved, where she was more accepted. Because she said, she was hanging out with her friends, and
like,
she said she had a girlfriend.
Yeah, that one little one.
Yeah, she said, her 5'2", 80-pound girlfriend.
So it's like she's tiny.
Okay, whatever. You know, the other girl that was involved with Jamia?
I don't know who I am.
Jamia?
Yeah.
I have to hear it, too.
Who is 14. She was being bullied, and they didn't go a whole lot into what she was being bullied about.
Yeah,
it was more of what
happened
to her. Which was basically she brought a gun onto the bus, which leads me to believe she was being bullied on the bus. And
that's what I would think, more on the bus. Cause
more on the bus than was anywhere else.
Yeah,
she pulled a gun on a kid on the bus.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, which makes me wonder if she wasn't being bullied on the bus.
But see, the thing is, she didn't really pull it.
They didn't go into a history, though, either.
On anyone.
I'm wondering if that's because there might be a legal case still pending civilly, possibly.
Well, because when they're telling her story, though, she got let out. They said what the case was. She basically spent a certain amount of time.
It was like 14 weeks. It was a long time.
It was 3 months. Don't quote me on that.
That's 12 weeks. 12 to 14.
Close enough.
She was basically in a juvenile detention facility undergoing psychiatric evaluation.
See, my thing is, though, because she didn't really pull it on anyone, and it wasn't even loaded. She just...
doesn't matter.
I know it is.
It's still assault.
Because she didn't... She just said, I was never going to use it. I don't even have ammo. It's just, I wanted to feel safe for once. And it was like,
I think she did pull it on the bus, though. She did actually.
Well, somebody saw it. Somebody saw it.
Well, no,
but she didn't
when you watch the movie, they actually had the video of the bus, and she was waving the gun around at people.
I was the first one that watched this crap, guys.
It's been a while, though.
Yeah,
I'm forgetting some pieces too.
It's been quite a while. It's been several weeks since I've watched it now too.
But yeah, she was released back to her mother's care,
and I think allowed to go back to school after the evaluation and everything was settled and things of that. I don't know if she went back to the
school
she was at for, but she was a sports star.
It was
a
short story.
I can't remember what sport she said.
Well, it was pretty short and relative to the other ones.
She wasn't just a sports star. She was a brainiac, too, because her mom said she was on the honor roll.
Yeah, she was, this great
student. Yeah.
So I was, that one kind of was
like,
why was she being
bullied? But that could also be the reason of why she was being bullied in a way, too.
True. I mean, it doesn't take the, I can't even think of a
you can be bullied for anything.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, you can be bullied for being, I hate to say it, the times have changed. You can bully a jock, I guess, and I mean, if they're well, you've heard the term dumb jock. Well, that's technically
bullying.
if you're pushing that on someone, that's bullying someone.
True.
And I hate to use that as a stereotype, but it's the only one I could think of.
But it is a stereotype.
Well, almost anything, any activity, you got your your honor students.
You know what? Stop calling us band nerds.
Bands.
Yeah.
Band vocal.
I was bullying April earlier by calling her a band.
Honestly,
nerd.
No, that's like a badge of pride. Like. We're like, yeah.
No, we turned it into a badge of pride, right? Because we wanted negative to be a positive.
See, I like
that.
Those. Like,
kind of what the sci-fi community did with the word geek and nerd. They kind of turned it
glorified.
On its head.
Geek has now been a badge of pride.
But
more
see,
or less.
Yeah, because it's like, I don't think when you get bullied for something, what you're getting bullied for probably isn't true. Like, we have kids that are called teacher's pets. I'm one of them because we get good grades. When most of the time, we don't even talk to the teacher, really. We just do our work.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we're teacher's pets,
which,
and we're suck-ups.
In a way, is a
that.
Form of bullying. Yeah. And then...
the heart of the story.
Well...
Or documentary, do you want to do that?
Well, there was also Tyler. And I don't know which...
Well, Tyler was one of the boys that committed suicide.
Right. Now... What's important here is that if Tyler's is he the 17-year-old? Ty was 11.
Right.
Tyler's parents are, from what I gathered, the ones who are doing this anti-bullying movement.
Right. Are they doing the stand for the silent?
They're,
I know
doing,
one of them has
that's
that.
That's Ty.
It was Ty that was doing Ty's parents, which these two kind of tied together. They weren't a whole lot about them in their story. It was more of the aftermath of what the community and the parents were being aware of. And it's I thought it was in here.
Well, Ty's
stand
father,
for silence.
I got this.
Stand
I got
for
this.
The silent.
I got this.
Right.
Got this. Go. I'm like a Facebook pager. I'm in the community. Okay. I got this. Shut up. I got this. Okay. So basically,
go with this.
Basically, they formed afterwards the organization called Stand for the Silent, which is not a branch off of the Bully Project. It's just its own thing. It's just been featured on there. And basically, you know, they have like full merchandise, everything you can get. They're based out of Oklahoma. I can't remember what town. And basically what they do is they go around to schools yearly. It's like they're packed full of just visits and just telling the story, getting it all out there. It's just awesome.
Yay. Right, and that was Ty,
mm-hmm.
And then there's Tyler, as Chris said. He was a 17-year-old that had committed suicide, and you know what? I don't really remember much
they
about his.
They didn't focus a lot on his, though. They turned
his room into a office.
Right, because he actually did it in his house.
Yeah, and what? I don't know the method, but they pointed to a hole in his closet, and I... didn't really catch.
No, he hung himself.
In the closet.
But I didn't understand that, why they were pointing, and they said it was a hole in the closet.
Yeah, because they
didn't understand
that's right.
it.
They turned their office into, and they, I don't know if they were affiliated with the Bully Project or if they were doing something similar to Ty's parents.
So
and
what?
I know they were advocates.
They were advocates for the cause. They were doing something similar to, you know, to make aware of it, but they didn't go a whole lot into him,
story.
Or it was more of what the aftermath was on those two. But in with Tyler, they didn't...
Devin?
It? Yeah, Devin.
What I remember from that is they just showed a very short clip in one section of it where he said he used to be bullied too. He knew what Tyler was going through. They talked about
it. I thought that
it.
Was the young kid.
Yeah, I thought it was
maybe
Tyler.
It was,
that was Tyler.
Maybe
it was Ty.
Ty.
It was him and but Ty because they were the same age.
Might be.
Yeah.
But he said that he finally, once he stood up for himself, they started looking at him, oh, he's a regular kid. Don't worry about him now.
And the bullying stopped. Basically, I think he was friends with Ty.
Maybe it was Ty.
Yeah, because they were out in the field.
The one that's the youngest because he couldn't believe that he had committed suicide at such a young age. That's why.
Okay.
But the biggest chunk of it's about Alex, who's an 8th grader.
Yeah.
12-year-old 8th grader.
At the time, he was.
Now, right. Now he's not.
He's in high school.
I'm not sure. I think they said this was it was put together in 2011, I wanted to say.
I believe so.
Is when they shot the information. And it came out.
So that was when I was, we're the same age.
Right.
So he's a sophomore.
And came out in late 2012.
12, I believe so.
Something like that. Somewhere around there. So he's now, and they had a little clip. If you watch, Chris, did you watch the bonus?
Yeah, I watched.
Oh my
gosh, the whole thing.
I watched.
Did you watch
the
bonus stuff on the back where it talked about him, Alex? Then
yeah, mm-hmm.
Okay.
I did that. Because they
have moved since this.
They went to Oklahoma. Okay, like, this is the one connection to everyone, apparently. It's just Oklahoma.
No. You're not going to follow that up with a question about it? You're just going to ask me if I watched it?
No, I just want to know if you watched it so you know what I was talking about. Because they had moved then, and he's more or less become a star.
Star.
From this. Because so his life has completely changed that.
Well, I think it's funny because I bet when he moved there, they didn't know about the Bully Project yet. But he said when he moved, it instantly got better. Like, there was no bullying. It's just he was a normal kid.
Well, I think they also moved, like, right out of eighth grade that he was going into being a freshman.
See, and that tells you something about how bullying starts. It just takes one negative person saying something or making an observation about one other person, and then it grows like a fire.
Which there was a couple of scenes in here in Alex's school, and one, like Chris said, wanted to reach to the TV and smack the principal or the whoever
vice,
it was.
Was it a vice principal?
If that principal is listening to this podcast, I did not say that.
He lies. He did too. And one thing I definitely foresee is if you think your child's being bullied, don't just take your child's word for what might be happening. Try to do more investigation or make...
If you can afford it, put a camera on the bus.
Well, that was one of the things when you watched the bonus. That was one of the things that came out of this was I don't think they realized that Alex was being bullied that bad on the bus.
Here's the thing.
And now they have cameras with sound.
I don't know how these people were able to get video footage on a government or school district.
Bonus content.
Okay.
Yeah.
You didn't watch it all.
Jeez. Liar.
They went back to Sioux City because that's where Alex was originally from. And the superintendent allowed the film crew unprecedented access.
Yep.
He was about the only school to let them into the school. The others were outside just talking about what was happening.
Right.
But the superintendent mentioned he wanted the flaws to be shown because they had been fighting this for 10 years.
There were some scenes in here where I have to applaud what the administration was doing. And they had, I don't even want to call it a truants officer, the lady, I don't know
that,
if she was the
principal.
That
brought in the kids and talked to them.
Vice principal, something like that. Where she would, you know, she would see the problem, and they were trying to do a proactive, what happened, why is this happening, you guys need to work this out, and would actually talk to them about it.
Where they failed was they did not inform the parents.
And that's kind of where there was... There were some flaws.
I'm
going
to get personal.
Well, let's kind of go back. Alex, he
was
eighth grade. He's on the bus, like Matt said. He was being punched on the bus, strangled on the bus, stabbed with pencils on the bus.
Right. But it wasn't, you got to remember, he's riding a bus with all age range.
It's a packed bus.
Yeah, and from what I would see, there were all the way from grade schoolers to high schoolers. And
that's how
he
every
was
bus
being,
is, though. Because that's how ours runs.
And he was being bullied by not only kids in his, you know, I guess school,
I think
middle school.
Pretty much everyone.
He was being bullied by high schoolers, too. You know, an eighth grader being bullied by high schoolers for whatever reason. And it's like Chris said, it only takes one negative person to pick on somebody, and there it goes.
Right. And they showed him at the school. He was pretty much a loner.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have any friends, and they would bump into him or where he was set. They would
all kinds
go
of stuff.
Around, and this is the one that hit me the hardest because I saw a little bit of Logan in this. Because I don't know if we talked about it before in the podcast, but he has Asperger's, and there were times when he would be sitting all by himself. He'd be the first one to sit down. Nobody else would join him, and I'd be at the end of the line, and I'd go join him, and we'd visit with the family and everything. In high school, it got a little better. April said people started talking to him a little bit more.
Well, because nobody knew about his condition. Like, I bet some people in his class probably don't even know about it today because he doesn't advertise it. You know,
right?
And so it's like I'm not excusing their behavior because they didn't know, but it's like.
But this one hit me a little closer to home with Alex, because of what he was experiencing, all of that. And the kids well, his, one of his statements, it was gone so far, and he was talking on camera. It wasn't at the school, but he was talking to the crew, and he was like, he's been bullied so much, and his lips just, he kind of gets a little glint in his eyes. His lips start quivering.
Yeah.
He wasn't about to cry. He was getting angry. He said, I want to become the bully.
Well,
so you can kind of see with him how some of these kids you see in the news have flipped. They've been bullied so much that they do go back and cause harm.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's the one
spot. But he never did. Put that out there. He never did.
But there was a spot in there where his parents kept questioning, you know, how did things go on the bus? How were things at school? And he didn't really tell them it was bad, but he didn't tell them it was good either.
He would shut down.
Yeah, he was. He was more shutting down.
Because he didn't want to relive the pain. He didn't want to make the pain real.
Right. And it was bad enough that the film crew basically stopped filming and went to the parents and said, y'all need to watch this. You need to take this to whoever. And this, you know, this did prompt the school to do a lot more to try and help.
But see, and then that's where the vice principal came in.
Right.
And they went to her office, you know, to discuss it. And they asked, like, why is this going on? What have you even tried to do? And the vice principal said, well, I don't know why they're why you'd be complaining, because they're perfect angels when I'm on the bus.
He said the kids were golden.
Whatever right. It was. Just like, no, yeah, really. Yeah.
Really? Duh, you were on the bus. And, well, I think this prompted them to see some of the flaws. And, you know, it's one of those things. It is rated PG-13. There is some foul
language.
Yeah,
what's the other version?
There is a PG version.
Is there?
Right.
Well, because that on the cover PG-13. Says PG-13 version. So I didn't know if there's another one.
There's a PG version that doesn't have quite as much language. And
Okay. So. Didn't know that. I did not know there were two versions.
Just watch them.
They made one so they could show it in elementary schools.
Right. Okay. But it is definitely one that if you have, I think every parent should sit down and watch this and discuss some of this with their children so that, well, one, your children doesn't become a bully. Or tries to, you know, can at least maybe point out what bullying can be.
Well,
and there's some stuff in here that I don't know. I thought about watching it with my daughter, who is 12. You know, I thought about watching it with her, and there's some things I don't know if I want her to see in this. But
I watched it with my 12-year-old son.
Okay. And there is a book that goes along with it. Hey, Chris, would you do me
like
a favor?
A manual or
can you look up
a guide?
How much the book is?
It's on the book.
It's a...
There's a U.S. and a Canadian.
You can go to their website, thebullyproject.com, and you can go in there and go into the educators section, and you can get a whole kit for schools, stuff like that. And I think the whole kit is $30. You can get the book, right. The movie, and a few poster type things.
You know what? For
the DVD's $30.
For $30, get the kit and send it anonymously to your schools. Send
and
them a message.
I would like this to be
the book
at
by
school.
Itself is $15.99, which I think the book kind of gives a little bit of the stories. I didn't realize there was a book till a little bit ago, so I went and grabbed it. And I think it's more of a guide, you know, of okay, this is what the movie was about. This is how you implement it to your children, school, and or whatever else.
No, but you see, I think
heart
wrenching
in
when
ways.
The hardest part about dealing with bullying and bullying in general, because you're talking about, you know, sitting down with your kid and saying, you know, this is what you need to look out for, is what is bullying? Because what teachers see as bullying, sometimes all of the kids don't like, because...
It's called denial.
Well, listen to this, though, because my group of friends, me and my group of friends, my circle, you know, my clique, whatever. Okay, we... make fun of each other. We poke fun at each other like we do.
Well,
but we all know that we're joking. And if we take it too far, they tell us, we know.
That's the difference between friendship and you bullying someone outside of your circle of friends.
But see, that's the thing, because, you know, like something that happened in our group, I'll tell mom or dad about and they'll get pissed off because, oh, that's bullying. But I'm trying to explain, like, it's
It can be harmless fun, and as long as no one, if you know you're joking, and your friends know they're joking, and if you go too far, your friends, you know, wait, you guys have gone too far with that, knock it off. That's different than, like, what was happening to Alex. He had no friends. He was being bullied
mm-hmm.
because it wasn't a joke. It was meant to cause harm.
But mental harm can be just as
it can be
hurtful as physical,
right?
And the difference is being picked on and being bullied can be different because just one person bullying one person, being picked on, probably wouldn't be viewed as bullying to where seeing 10 or 12 people picking on one attribute of somebody would be more obvious and therefore probably stopped. But usually what happens is the more one-on-one where somebody's picking on somebody. And that is bullying just as much.
True.
It can be.
But that stuff is also can be also hidden. So someone needs to speak up for those people, either to their parents or administrators of a school.
Right. And that's why I said, this can be used to educate children that mine go to a small school. Is there bullying? Probably a little, but not maybe as much as you might see in a larger community just because there's more opportunity. I don't want to say it doesn't happen.
Well, but no, because my school has tons and tons of bullying, but it's never physical. It's always,
It's still bullying.
That's the thing. But it's not always about where, because we have a small town.
But you got to speak up for those people.
Big.
Right.
So if you're seeing it, you need to speak up.
And that's the thing. Stand for the silent. Well, kids need to be educated on it. And it's good in that aspect. It is kind of heart-wrenching and, you know.
I think administrators need to work harder at stopping it because...
Well, this is that brings up a point.
Well,
okay, they're already swamped with having to.
That's not what I'm.
Go ahead.
No, what I
still want to make my point though. But
okay, you make your point after I make my point. What I'm saying is because the bullies in our school are not your typical bullies. They're the populars, the perfects, right?
The preps.
Perfect,
doesn't
yeah.
Matter. You're bullying them right back by calling them preps all the time.
Here's the well, we don't call them that. We just don't talk to them.
Oh, okay.
Here's the thing, though, because you go to any teacher, any teacher in our school, and talk to them about it, they will not go talk to the prep, I guess. I'm not trying to be mean.
Stereotypical?
Just, yeah, and they will go back at you and say, no, you have only, they'll bully the kid that came to them because in their eye, they could never see that person as doing anything like that.
Right.
And that's why it's like,
well, that's the thing too.
Now we don't even go to the teachers because that's what happens. So we don't do anything.
The people in charge need to be educated as well. And that's what I said, this is not a bad thing in any aspect that I could see where it would be bad showing this to anyone.
I guess the people in this video, or what happens when bully goes to extreme. These are extreme cases, okay? This does not happen everywhere. But in other aspects, it does happen. It's like the little, you know, the pinprick doesn't hurt, but hundreds of pinpricks do. Using a good analogy?
That's fine.
That happens everywhere.
Yeah.
But that is still bullying. You know, whether an administrator sees it or not, most of the time they don't, and then when someone goes to them and says, hey, they did this, they do what April said.
They say, no, they didn't.
It's the, you know, the one little pinprick, you know, I'm not going to, you notice you didn't hear that. Sorry. Anyway.
Let me try.
It's those little pinpricks, or, you know, it's just those little bitty, you know, walking up and down the hallway, someone's, you know, calls them a name or whatever. You know, you go to a teacher and you're tattletaling. They don't want to hear that.
Snitches get stitches.
But if someone gets in a fight, you know, every teacher in the school is going to be on top of it, you know?
Yeah, that's what I said. It's partially education, but...
So...
And this could be a debated topic.
This
for
could go on forever.
Hours.
Well, what I'm saying is that there needs to be a no tolerance for this.
You guys just be nice to people.
I think that's part of what this is trying to get across, is trying to prevent it. And I think it's a good... Didn't hear that either, and I smacked the mic. This is definitely a good thing for any. I don't care anyone.
Why
to
is
have
your
anywhere.
Guys is so unsensitive? Listen to this. I'm freaking. I can't even.
You have rough skin.
Yeah, I do. I don't. I'm not a girly girl, really. Lotion? Yeah. What's that?
I have wiry freaking hair.
Yeah. See, listen, it's like.
Okay, back to the podcast. Yeah, I like Richard was saying. you know, I personal collection, man, this is a good thing to have. Loan it out to your friends, libraries. I don't care if it's
school
library, anywhere.
Churches
is another great place to have it. Man, there's all kinds of.
I don't know. I think basically, guys, just be nice to people. I mean,
well, yeah.
You don't have to like a person, but you don't have to keep dogging on them either. Like, God.
I guess my personal opinion is this isn't one that I would buy. It would be one that I would expect to see at a library.
I would too, and I don't. That's why I said I don't know. Not only
I would get the word out
public
about
one,
it though.
You're not only your public, but
school.
You know, school library. Mm-hmm. You know, everywhere.
Library.
Well, schools should have a program
library.
Like that. You know, an anti-bullying program.
I think a lot of
them do. Similar to it, but this would just be something to reinforce it.
Right. What is it? Came out. I don't know exactly when. Late 2012. So it's probably been out roughly a year.
Probably.
But it is definitely one that I think you should have. And I don't care if you're small, medium, large.
Pick it up.
You should have a copy of it and kind of promote it if you can. Because it's definitely one that would be very good. And make it aware.
Yep.
Okay, I'm off my soapbox on that part. Because I think you should have it.
Just go buy it.
Time?
Yeah. Just keep going.
Who cares?
I don't know
whatever.
If we need to split this into two parts or.
Nah, that was only 30 minutes.
Okay.
After you edit out, of course, half of it. About 30
especially
minutes.
Especially one part of it. Two parts.
I'm sorry.
20 minutes of us laughing at my pronunciations.
Oh, well. And at this time, let us take a break for Dodge City Public Library.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. As we understand, there might be some fans of nonfiction materials in CPL land, so why not head over to www.dcpl.info and check out our podcasts. We have the nonfiction fix you've been looking for. Every month, Michael, our public service librarian, and I review a nonfiction book or other item for you to consider reading or adding to your collection. So, if you love the land of black and white informative materials, head on over and check us out. By the way, Michael thinks he's a different fictional character in every episode. No guessing what he'll be next month.
This is Christian from Metropolis America, and you are listening to Comic Pop Library.
Sometimes when this place gets kind of empty, the sound of the breath fades with the light. I think about the loveless fascination under the Milky Way tonight. Lower the curtains down on Memphis. Lower the curtains with the light. I've got no time for private consultation under the Milky Way tonight. I wish I knew what you were looking for. I might have known what you would find. I wish I knew what you were. I'd have known why you would fly. And it's something quite peculiar.
And we are back. We just got finished listening to Under the Milky Way by Metropolis America. And we'll have April take it away for us.
All right. So Metropolis America is out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, US of A. And it is made up of Kristen Mora, I hope I'm saying that right, Rick Eddy, and Greg Kinter. Nope. God, I can't pronounce anything. And it's Kristen is the vocalist for that, and we do have a separate interview
with
him.
When we post this, I'll put a link back to that interview so you can listen to it.
Check that out. You can hear what all he has to say.
And I'll make a disclaimer. When we mentioned the interview, we mentioned a song called Stolen Car in a Stolen Heart or Stolen Heart in a Stolen Car, that we would have that ready for this podcast. But
something
must have came up. They're not releasing that because we thought it was supposed to be a Labor Day release and it didn't get released. So something must have happened.
So now you guys have to wait. So sorry.
That might be forthcoming in the future. So just oops. Oops.
Our bad.
So,
but yeah, they are, they call themselves cold pop is what they would.
Their genre.
Put themselves in, which I guess. And they were a fairly new band. They were formed in 2011, so they're like a year old, around a year old.
Not two. This is 13.
Oh, it is 13, huh? Sorry.
I'm so
out of it. Well, because we were just talking about 2012 so much with the Bully Project, so I was like, God. Okay.
That is true.
Jeez, guys.
We'll give her a break on that one.
Thank you. And I thought they were a decent group. I mean, I like most of their songs. I think there's one or two that aren't my favorite, but they're not bad, just not what I'd like.
They're 80s influenced heavily. If you remember when we did the interview, you heard some of the drops. They were definitely 80s influenced type band. One of the things that they mentioned was their songs are available to anybody that wants to go to their websites.
They're on iTunes for 99 cents each.
Do you want to give them the website where they could find their downloads and how?
Yes, the website is metropolisamerica.com. If you don't know how to spell Metropolis...
Too bad.
I'm not going to spell it for you because you're a sad person.
Jeez. You bully.
But what can they... this is
tough.
Yes. This is one where listeners to the podcast, anybody that knows about Metropolis America, we can direct them to this website because their songs can be downloaded for the astronomical price of...
Zip.
Yes. So.
Nothing.
Makes it very nice. So if you don't want to go to iTunes and pay 99 cents, if you're a listener to our podcast, they said you're more than welcome to go to their website and download for free. So cool.
Do they do any touring?
Around their local area.
Yeah, right now. They haven't gone out anywhere yet.
They haven't become popular enough to
branch
out.
I think they might.
As of yet.
What?
Well, when you don't charge anything for an album, they can't expect
expect the funds.
Got to start somewhere.
Yeah. Well, that's one of their philosophies, though. They don't want to charge for their music.
I think they will.
Eventually, they'll have to.
Start touring a little bit. You know, I just think they're so young. They're an indie group, you know. Just give them time.
Yeah. They have to start somewhere, so.
Yeah. But if any of you guys want them to go out.
Free makes publicity, but.
True.
But doesn't make any money.
If you guys want them to go out to wherever you are, you can contact their booking agent, Rick Eddy. Oh, he's a member, too. Look at that. And
that happens with small bands too.
And he is at live@metropolisamerica.com, so you can contact them that way too
for booking. They have had one of their songs get hit by some commercials. Personal Policy, that'll be the song that we leave out on, and it's been picked up for a couple of sitcom commercials, so they have gotten a little bit of money that way, because whenever it's used in something like that, they
do
get
one of them, Milkbone.
No, that's the Hunts.
The Hunts.
Oh, sorry.
Jeez, Chris.
Keep your band straight, Chris.
Pull yourself together, man.
Stop bullying me.
But most of their songs definitely had the 80s influence. I enjoyed I enjoyed it because that's where I grew up.
Yep.
When I grew up.
When.
I really liked Love You Love. That was my... Is that the one with the music video?
I'm not sure. I know they did one with Bittersweet and...
The one with
of our youth.
The one with the music video
that
has you guys in the clouds, that's the one I like.
Bittersweet.
I like Bittersweet. That's my favorite. And then I like Love You Love too.
Oh, I didn't.
And I think when we talked to Kristen,
I missed the music video.
They filmed that at an angle. Or maybe it was on
you could see straight up his clean nose. You could.
It was kind of a bad angle for him sometimes.
But I was like, oh my gosh.
But they were basically up on boxes so the camera could be pointed up so they could see the clear clouds.
Clear blue sky.
It's kind of a neat one. But Love You Love, I liked. It was more of a light rock one.
80s and 90s video.
But most of their songs, one of them, the You Don't Have to me, had a David Bowie feel. So you definitely feel those vibes coming through. One of them that didn't hit me the most was Under the Milky Way.
That one kind of reminded me of the Eagles for some reason. It probably has nothing to do with the Eagles, or and I'd probably get a lot of hate for that, but it just, to me, it just felt like an Eagles
okay.
song. I don't know why, just what came to mind.
Possession kind of had a supernatural feel to me. And it was almost like they wanted to possess the person that they were talking about, the lady, you know.
Yeah.
So it kind of a different vibe to it.
It's kind of ironic because one of the songs I didn't like as much as the others is called Not For Everyone. Which I guess is true, apparently. Because, like, I really liked the intro into it. And then when the, I didn't really dig the lyrics or the rhythm of it.
Well, it's one of those where.
I mean, the chorus was okay for me. I didn't like the lyrics or rhythm with the music behind it for me.
Okay. Well, the words to it, I kind of understood because I tried to listen to them as much as I could. And it's basically about being an outcast.
Mm-hmm.
And what I got from it, from some of the lyrics, basically, if nobody wants to understand the way of your life, that's fine. It's not for everyone. If you enjoy it,
it's
your life. You enjoy it. Not everybody's going to see it your way. Enjoy your time here on Earth because it's short enough as it is.
Overall, right? Why not? Sure.
No, that's what you get for making fun.
Fun, fun, fun. Happy, happy, happy. Oh, I better cut that out. Probably trademarked.
Oh my gosh, we picked up Duck Dynasty figures at Walmart. It's awesome.
That's what the church thing is based on. Pastor Mike's going to be preaching on the Duck Dynasty.
Or our seniors picked Duck Dynasty for our like little slogans. Like one of them is like Bronc Commander because we're the Bronx, you know. Bronc Commander.
Swinging back into the podcast.
Anyways.
April says she liked the bittersweet song. That one was one we talked about during the interview, too, where it was an angry song because he was wanting the attention of a girl, but they wouldn't return it, so it was a bittersweet feeling. But the rhythms to it was an upbeat
feel. So it sounded happy.
So it almost sounded happy.
I liked the part kind of towards the middle, or I can't remember exactly right now, but it, like, broke it down a bit and slowed it down and took out a lot of the instrumentals for a bit, and then it built it back up again, which I thought was really cool. I liked it.
So, and one of their deals is they want to have music that has a message. So they're really wanting the listeners to pay attention to the lyrics as much as the instrumental. So if you can do that, you know, if you like your music, go for it.
Did they do the video with just the words?
Yes, that was Burden
Guys,
of Our Youth.
Guys, don't do that. Okay.
That was Burden of Our Youth video.
They had...
An un-video is what they called it.
Yeah, they put out this...
An un-video.
Video.
It was
Burden of Our Youth. And it wasn't any... It
wasn't April's favorite.
It wasn't
really?
A video.
I couldn't tell.
The words. And honestly, that annoyed me so much. Because I'm trying to listen to the music, but then I'm trying to read. And it's just like... Because they're not even putting the lyrics.
So they're April just putting, can't multitask.
Not that way, because when I listen to music, I want to like listen to the song. I listen to it too intense to focus on anything else. So when I have to focus on anything else, I'm just not listening to it at all. You know, so literally, I probably watched that video 3 times, and I've never heard the song once. Each time I watched it, just because I got sucked into reading the words.
And sometimes
maybe that was their point.
And the words to it were not the lyrics to the song. It was
they
about
how this isn't a video.
No,
it was a video about how it's not a video, and that made me even more mad. Because I was like, then stop wasting YouTube space.
But that was their video. That was their catch for that.
It unhooked me.
But for a lot of people, that prize like, oh, that's different. Hadn't done that before, so.
No. And then the one part.
You know, bands are wanting to get out there and be unique in some form or fashion.
The one part.
That's how they get noticed.
They did put pictures in. They were like, oh, and we are real people. Here's proof. We'll show you. And all the pictures they had up were pictures of them, yes. Faces completely covered. Like.
In shadow.
Yeah. And like, you couldn't tell. All you could tell was that they were people. And I was like, yeah, that totally makes me trust you even more. Oh my gosh.
Well, it's not like you could tell them to add it to the library collection, though.
No, this is one where we talk about the digital age. Chris has talked about this, you know, why do people want to go to the library to check it out when they can get it digitally. This one, you have to go to their website or go to iTunes where you can download them. They do not have physical copies. They did have a few in the beginning, but then they decided to go completely digital. And so
they sent me a physical one,
but it didn't have all the songs on it, though.
I think that's what started me liking them, though, because literally, because I could listen to it more, and like in the car or just at home, that made me.
True. Sure.
See, we have older cars; we don't have the flash drive hooks, iPod hookups. So
put in that old CD.
Yeah, we still gotta have CDs.
Back in the dark ages of CDs, geez,
that's weird.
Well, I noticed you're
still probably rocking a cassette tape somewhere, aren't you?
Nope. Yeah. They're all gone.
Oh, we have...
My grandma has like a 2002 Ford Taurus, and it has a cassette tape in it.
Yep.
Our pickup has a cassette tape.
Yeah, our pickup does. That's it. Doesn't work very good, though. But yeah, this
better
is
than
one...
the radio.
I've owned a couple cars that have had both.
This is one where I would tell people, if you're really into the 80s vibe, it'd definitely be for you.
Go check them out.
Yep. I think they're a good group overall. I think... Yeah. They're doing good.
They have a good sound, themselves. A light sound on most of their stuff. Again, if you're a listener to the podcast, go to metropolisamerica.com. You can download them for free. Or if you want to, go to support them a little bit, go to iTunes and download them for 99 cents.
Yep.
But this is one that I would recommend for people to pick up. Can't beat the cost.
No, you cannot.
They can pay us to listen to it.
There you go. They're not that bad yet.
Oh, yes. Okay. I don't know. Well, you said you can't beat the cost. I'm like, well, you can beat free. They can pay you for it. So,
I think anybody that's out there that wants to contact us to leave a question, comment, suggestion,
you can
contact us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. Also on our website now at comicpoplibrary.com, we have a donate button. If you enjoy what you're hearing and we would appreciate your donation, the funds raised through this will be put back into the podcast in the form of assisting with hosting fees, purchasing review copies, or helping us fund trips to various conventions to make new contacts for future visits and reviews. Comic Pops Libraries podcast will always be available at no cost. This is just a chance for you to help us out if you desire. And whether you donate, just listen to our show, listen to our site, or visit our site, or
listen
you do,
to our website.
Yes.
Well, they can. They listen to a podcast.
There you go. Click that button. Or you do any one of the above. We appreciate all your support. Definitely appreciate it.
Yep.
And we are going to leave out with one of Metropolis America's other songs. That was going to be Personal Policy.
Personal Policy, yeah.
And we enjoyed it. We had a lively discussion. So we're having fun. We hope everybody out there is having fun as well. Everybody have a good evening.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. They said X, we said Y. They filled our heads with all kinds of good advice. So much good advice.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.